Welcome to the Honey Clutter Worth podcast. This is your host, Emma Garcia. I am really, really excited to be able to bring this teaching to you guys called The Love of the Father. The goal of this teaching this week is to bring reconciliation and enlightenment on our Heavenly Father to help establish the building blocks for people who don't feel loved by God so that they can have an intimate understanding and relationship with Him, as well as bring healing to any parental wounds caused by earthly fathers. But first, I want to just open us up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come boldly into your throne room of grace and praise you and repent and ask for forgiveness and learn from you and be filled with your love and your peace, God. I thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for sending your son on the cross to die for me, Lord, to reconcile me back to you, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, which seals me and seals my right in heaven, God, and my right to be a joint heir with Christ in heaven. Thank you for that. We praise you and we come again into your presence and we just declare our love for you, God. I pray that any and all people hearing this would receive what they need to receive from this, God. I pray that you would pour your anointing out on this teaching, Lord, that healing and deliverance would come forth from it, God. I pray that this podcast episode would reach whoever it needs to reach, Lord, that you would open the hearts of the people who are listening to this so that, again, they may receive what you have for them today. I love you, Lord. Thank you for every person listening to this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, without further ado, let's get into this teaching. So most people base their relationship that they have or had with their earthly fathers onto their relationship with their Heavenly Father. They base it on imperfect love, even unloving and traumatic events that they have had with their earthly fathers. And because of those, there can be a separation in our heart and from our heart and the Father in heaven due to brokenheartedness. And brokenheartedness is caused by separation. Or a lot of the disease that we see in people today is due to separation from God in one way or another. And it's not because He draws away, but because we draw away. And we draw away when we experience something that causes us to question His goodness. Fear, if you have a fear problem, that there's a separation there. Self-hate, that there's a separation there between you understanding how God sees you. Bitterness, there is a separation there. All of these things can cause us to feel separated from God's love. Because remember, God is love, and everything that He calls us to do is coming out of love. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. This is the way a family unit is supposed to run. And when it doesn't, due to the father being either aggressive, passive, perfection and performance, shame-based driven, or a father who isn't even present, it heavily affects how a person views God if they aren't healed. And here is where the link of this pattern, you could say, kind of starts. If a man does not first allow himself to be led by Christ, there is already a link missing. So a man who puts Christ at his head as his leader will then be able to appropriately be the head of his wife and his family in the spiritual sense. And when he is able to do that in the spiritual sense, he's able to do that in every other sense. So that's financially and physically and whatever it is. Now, this is also something that I believe is learned, that men need to learn. So they're not going to just have it down when they get married. They're not just going to just automatically just bam, like they just know exactly what to do constantly and they're perfect and they're, no, like I believe that this is a learned process and it's a process of sanctification for a man. When a man rejects this and chooses not to have this, like they don't want anything to do with it, no matter how hard they try, they will find it impossible to fully step into the role of priest in the home, which is again what every man is called to be. Again, this does not mean that a man can't be convicted and change eventually, or that he as a priest in the home can't make mistakes, because that would just be wrong for us to assume that. He is a human just as I am a human. It means that he needs to make the decision daily to pursue God's plans, receive His love, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide him. We usually see both men and women who are either passive, aggressive, or controlling, and this is usually due to a family unit that didn't operate in the order stated in 1 Corinthians. When a father is aggressive, controlling, and abusive, which is actually witchcraft, as the Bible talks about it, because witchcraft is the abuse of power, it causes a child or a wife to either become passive, quiet, withdrawn, fearful, to avoid the onslaught from the one who should be loving, from the one who is supposed to be loving and leading and encouraging. That, or the child or wife, become angry, controlling, and hard of heart to protect themselves. When a father is passive or not in the picture, children often try to prove themselves worthy of being loved, defended, and fought for. It leaves a person's heart crying out, "Why don't you see me, and why don't you love me?" This is something that is honestly so incredibly heartbreaking because, again, it leaves a child who grows up into an adult to feel like they have to prove themselves constantly of being fought for, of being loved, and they seek approval whether they even realize it or not because their father was either not there or passive and was not a constant in their life. When this happens, a lot of people start to think this way about God. They feel abandoned, whether physically or emotionally, from their fathers who are meant to be a strong presence in their lives, and then feel that way towards God. All of these situations mentioned above can cause really deep hurt and wounding of the spirit, because we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And it also causes trauma. When this happens, our viewpoint on God, again, can become incredibly skewed. And we can almost live in this like skewed reality of what and who God is and how he sees us. So this is what we call a flawed, a broken relationship, right? Because no human is perfect, but this kind of relationship, these kinds of relationships that I just mentioned above, again, cause deep hurt and wounding of the spirit and of the heart, and it causes trauma in a person. If you find that your father never said that he loved you, or he never acted like he loved you, I want you to stop and take a moment and ask the Lord to reveal any survival tactics or any tactics that you use to try and feel loved by people or try and get approval from people, because that really can, it's where a lot of this can stem from. And when you feel, again, separated from your earthly father, you're going to feel separated from your heavenly father if you are not healed from this. While many listening to this have experienced these kinds of relationships with their earthly father, the kind of relationship your heavenly father wants to have with you is like this. One, he wants a relationship of understood identity, your identity and God's identity. God wants you to understand and to know and believe the identity that he has placed on you. Not that the world has placed on you, not that your finances has placed on you, not that your mistakes or sins have placed on you, but the identity he has placed on you, because that is the only one that is true. He also wants you to understand his identity, who God is, how God loves you, how God sees you, his attributes, his character. God wants you to understand those things, because you can't have a relationship with someone if you don't understand and are familiar with them. Two, God wants to have a relationship with you that brings healing and wholeness to your life. He wants to heal those wounds from your parents. He wants to heal those wounds from the traumas that you've experienced in your life, whether it is from someone betraying you, from assault, whatever it is, God wants to heal those wounds in your life, and he is able and willing. When you come to him and you cry out and you say, "God, I need you. I can't do this anymore," he desires in helping you. He has a desire to help you because he loves you. It's not this, "Oh, I guess you asked, or you're struggling, I guess I'll help you." No, it is fierce. He's passionate. He wants to help you. He delights in his beloved. Three, he wants to have a relationship that brings the kingdom of heaven down on earth. He wants to use you as a vessel to show people the love of God. He wants to use you so that you can be a light to other people and you can be a witness of God's love, and so that you can go and do deliverance and ministry with people, and you can bring healing, not from anything that not from any power that you have, because we don't have any, but because the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us to heal other people. God wants that relationship with you, but that relationship cannot happen unless you are willing to open your heart up, unless you are willing to come into his throne room and become familiar with him, to repent, to ask and receive forgiveness and healing and a sweet relationship. This can't happen unless you're willing to do that. So a relationship of understood identity. Let's focus on God's identity right now. God is love. He is literally what love is. That is his identity. Everything God does is out of love. Not one thing God has ever done, is doing, or will do is not out of love. God is love. God's judgment is love. God's judgment is not lack of love. His judgment, let's really get into this. His judgment is just and perfect in all of his ways, and it is out of love. His correction is out of love. His reproof is out of love. His blessings are out of love. That is his identity. We are made in God's image, which again is love and his likeness. And because of this, we are made to be loved. When we aren't loved, and or we don't feel loved, it makes loving God and feeling loved by God very difficult, which creates, again, brokenheartedness, because it affects us in our mental health, our physical health, our emotional, spiritual health, the work of our hands, and covenant relationships, which is your relationship with God and with your spouse. But God has many names which tie into his attributes. God is El Shaddai, God Almighty or Almighty God. He is El Roy, the God who sees me. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, and so on. But today, we are going to, again, focus on Abba, which is Father in Aramaic. And this term addresses God in a very personal and intimate way, with childlike trust, which is what we are called to have. We're called to have childlike trust in God. Galatians 4, verse 6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So if you are a born-again Christian, which means you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit, and became adopted, making God your Father, and you a son or daughter in Christ. Because of this, you have the right to come boldly before him, trusting in him and relying on him as a son or daughter would and should an earthly father. So who is God as a father? He's kind. And a lot of people have trouble accepting that God is kind because of all the horrible things that have happened in their life. But Ephesians 2 verse 7 says, "So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ." God is kind. God is patient. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So God is not impatient, and he doesn't throw tantrums when we just don't get it right, and he doesn't shame us when we just don't get things right. No, he is patient and kind and gentle with us. He is rich in mercy, according to Ephesians 2 verse 4. "But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he has loved us." He is rich in mercy, because how many times do we sin a day and commit the same sins a day? And it is his mercy, it is because of his mercy that we are able to step into the grace that God freely offers us. And this mercy and this grace is meant to draw us into repentance and into sanctification. God is compassionate. God cares. He cares about what you're going through. He does not look down and go, "Oh, you know, just silly little humans." No, Matthew 14 verse 14 says, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." Now, this is talking about Jesus, but we have to remember that God is in Jesus and Jesus is in God. God is just. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all of his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Nothing God does is unjust or unfair. Nothing. He is perfect and just in all of his ways, every single one. God is full of grace." Joel 2 verse 13, "And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. So what right here, the first part, and rend your hearts and not your garments. So it was very common back then when they were in mourning, if they were very emotional about something, that they would tear their garments. It was an outward display of mourning and of turmoil in a sense. But he's telling them right here, because I mean, a lot of people, they will feel not necessarily convicted or sometimes convicted about their sin, and they'll feel horrible and all of these things, but they don't want to turn away. It's just a self-pity thing. They don't want to turn away from their sin. It's just they feel bad for themselves because they know it's wrong. That's what this is really talking about. And rend your hearts, not your garments. So be convicted in your heart and be convicted in your heart and turn towards the Lord. And ask him to help you to turn away from the sin. Again, I really want to express this to you guys. God is not counting how many times you sin and go, oh, well, that's just one too many. Sorry, I can't help you. No, that would not align with God's grace. We are humans. This does not mean, though, that we are to take advantage of his grace. It just means that, again, his mercy and grace are meant to draw us into repentance. He is full of grace. He does not, again, look at your sins and go, I can't believe you did it again. That's not how God sees you. And I personally can speak on that because I struggled and sometimes still struggle with that. I was heavily, at one point, addicted to pornography. And I struggled and battled with the spirit of lust for many, many years. And it was really, really, really hard for me. And I stepped into this guilt, shame, self-hate, condemnation cycle. And this cycle that I was this cycle of judging myself and condemning myself and being angry and feeling unworthy to come into the presence of the Lord and ask for forgiveness when that's not what God wanted at all for me. He wants me to come into his presence. Because conviction draws us into his presence. That's what it's meant to do. Condemnation pushes us away from his presence. God is a shelter. Psalms 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You are safe, absolutely 100% safe to go to God in the midst of trouble. A lot of people did not feel safe and do not feel safe going to their earthly fathers when something happens or something's going on and they need help because they're afraid of judgment. They're afraid of their father brushing it off. They're afraid of their father getting angry. That is not God's heart at all. God is a safe place for you to come into when the storm starts to roll in and wreck everything. When you're struggling with the same thing or when you're struggling with the new thing, God is a safe refuge for you. God is your defender. I can only imagine the amount of people who wish their father would have come to their defense. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. God is constantly protecting you from the evil one in ways that you do not even know. Now, we absolutely do open ourselves up to being tormented by the enemy by actions that we take because the law of seed time and harvest. If I go and I watch a horror movie and I have nightmares and I'm tormented and I'm fearful and I'm scared and I can't sleep and I'm anxious, that was my own doing. That was my own doing. I opened myself up to the enemy being able to torment me, which he has legal right to do when we do things like that. Now, when I realize, oh my gosh, I should not have done that. That was wrong. When I go and repent, that right is taken away from the enemy. God comes as a defense for us. And there are things that we don't even know going on that God is defending us from. He's an avid advocate for us and defends us. God is a wonderful provider. Philippians 4 verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God loves to provide for his children. He loves it, and he loves to bless his children. Absolutely loves to bless his children. Again, so many people did not have a father that provided for them. Even the basic necessities did not provide for them. And that right there is so incredibly damaging to a child because it makes them feel unsafe and like they can't rely on other people. Who God is not as a father. So what is God not as a father, because we just went through who God is as a father. God does not look at you after you sin and go, well, and pick up his whip and just whack. That is not who God is. There are consequences to our actions because that is the nature of sin. But God is not a vengeful, God is not looking over at us waiting to like trip us up or like trip us up or hurt us. Or that is not God's heart. That is not his character at all. God is not angry at you. I cannot tell you how many times I have believed the lie, oh my gosh, God has to be angry with me because I just keep messing up. Because if we're honest, if we were to be talking to people and helping them through something, and they just keep going through the same mistake, it's easy for us to be like, dude, seriously, come on, you should get this by now. That is not God's heart at all. He is not angry at you. He does not look down at you in disdain. Doesn't matter what you've done. God is not lacking in mercy. God is full of mercy. God is not looking and waiting for you to mess up. Again, he is not watching you, just waiting for you to make a wrong move so that he can prove to you how bad you are, so that he can tell you, I told you so. That's conditional. That is conditional love. That's performance-based love. Performance-based. God's love is not performance-based. He is not looking for you to go do X, Y, and Z to prove yourself how good of a daughter or son you are and how you should be worthy of this, that, and this. No. That is a conditional love. That is a performance-based love. And so many people experienced this kind of relationship with their father or with their mother or with someone in their life, and it caused them to withdraw because it makes a person feel like, one, if they do something wrong, they're going to lose love. And two, it causes us to not fully trust people. God is not lacking in compassion. Remember that God sent his son to die on the cross for us. How compassionate is that? He knew that we could not save ourselves. He knew that we were in a hole, a pit so deep and dark that he was going to send his son to bring us out of it. God does not withhold his love from you, ever. God cannot withhold his love from you. That is not a part of his nature. It's not a part of his character. So many people, for example, let's say you got a bad grade on a test and your father finds out and he's just so angry at you. And now I'm not going to do this for you, or I'm not going to do that for you, or no, you can't do this. Or like, it's just very performance based, and they start to glare at you, or they cold shoulder you, and like they make you feel bad. Like that right there, like they withhold compassion, they withhold the love, they withhold the blessings because you did something wrong. That is not how God is. God is not quick in temper. God is not going to look at you and you sin and just get super, super angry at you, like bam. So many of us are so quick to react, to be angry. God is so not that. God does not just flare up and then like, oh my gosh, throw balls of fire down on you. That is not God's character. God is not waiting to punish you. Again, this ties in with multiple of the things that I said above. God is not waiting to punish you. That is a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and so many people believe it. Many people are warm and fuzzy towards Jesus in a sense. They see him as sacrificial and patient and kind and gentle, etc. Because, I mean, we are taught, and this is correct, that Jesus is gentle and kind, all these things. Yes, those things are absolutely true. But they don't feel that way towards Father God because of their understanding of God and of love. But we, again, have to remember that Jesus is in God and God is in Jesus. Nothing Jesus did or does is of his own accord. He does what he sees the Father doing, and he does what God tells him to do. So let's turn to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, that way you should know. And so we'll skip down now to verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right here, he is literally telling us, guys, the Father is in me, I'm in the Father, we are one and the same. Everything Jesus did was because of God. That's how God saw us. How Jesus sees you, again, is how Father God sees you. So now let's get into how does God see us? So what is our identity? Our identity in Christ is righteous. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are saved. Titus 3 verse 5, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We are the apple of his eye. Psalm 17 verse 18, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. We are a chosen generation of royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation and royal priesthood according to 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation and royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a new creation. According to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You are blameless and holy before him. Ephesians 1 verse 4 through 5, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. What a beautiful, beautiful testimony. What a beautiful identity that we have. A lot of the times we label ourselves based off of trends, or we label ourselves based off of sins that we commit, or we label ourselves based off of our grades, off of our job, off of our family, off of our culture. We label ourselves based off of our political stance. That is not biblical at all. Our identity is in Christ alone. So now, what does a relationship look like that brings healing and wholeness, which is a relationship that God wants to have with you? 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, he himself for our sins and his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, there is a way that opened the door to healing in our lives. But this healing cannot and will not take place unless we are able and we want to receive this healing. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Now also, sometimes healing can be hindered based off of unrepented sin. So if I am bitter with someone, bitterness is one of the main things that keeps someone from being healed, whether it's emotionally, physically, financially, whatever it is. Bitterness is one of the main roadblocks for a believer. If you are bitter with someone, you step into judgment. When you step into judgment, you receive judgment. Isaiah 53 verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. He took our punishment for us. He took it. The punishment was death, which is what it's talking about, death, separation from God. He took it for us. Jeremiah 33 verse 6, behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. No, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, guys, but I'm absolutely preaching that God loves to bless his children abundantly. He wants them to prosper. He wants them to be secure. He wants them to be whole, well, and healed, and going and helping other people to be whole, well, and healed and prosper. God wants that for you. He wants that. Any person that tells you that, oh, you just have to suffer in this because that's just what a Christian does, no. Now, because we live on earth and we are humans, we are going to go through trials and tribulations. But for example, if I am sick and I have a disease and someone tells me that, oh, that's just, you know, that's just a thing that God wants you to have to just deal with. That is, I mean, what a lie. That is a lie. God wants us to be healed and whole in every area, physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. in every single area. He wants there to be prosperity and abundance and blessings and healing. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So first, we have to be humble to receive any of this healing. We have got to humble ourselves before God and come to this place of knowing, God, I can't do this myself. I cannot heal myself. I've tried. I've done everything to be the good Christian, quote unquote. I cannot do it by myself. I need you. We have to come to repentance. We have to humble ourselves before our God. And he will hear you and he will forgive your sin and he will heal you. It's a process. Most people don't just get healed in a day. Absolutely, they can. That is a miraculous miracle. That happens. But most people, it's a process. So what is a relationship that brings the kingdom of heaven down on earth, which is, again, what God wants for us to have? This is done through love. If we are having trouble loving God, we will have trouble loving others and ourselves. Mark 12, 30 through 31. And thou shalt love thy Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. We are called to love God. But when we have a skewed view of God, which hopefully what this teaching will enlighten you on who God really is and how he sees you and how he loves you. But when we have a skewed view of that, we will not be able to love others and ourselves in the way that we were called to. Now we're going to go to John 1. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When we do not know God, we will not know love. We will not know how to, again, love other people correctly and love ourselves. 1 John 3 verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knows him not. 1 John 4 verse 16, and we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Matthew 22 verse 36 through 40, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that you do should be done out of love, because everything God does is, again, done out of love. This relationship, God is able to bring the kingdom of heaven down on earth, in a sense, through us, can only be done when we understand the love of God, the love God has for us, the love that we are called to show to other people and ourselves. It can only happen when we feel loved by God. And I hope that this teaching helped shed some light on some of that. Because this right here is going to be the basis for the next many, many episodes that we are going to be doing. The next podcast episode is going to be on the 8 R's to Freedom, which is it's kind of a guide in a sense. It's kind of a guide to deliverance in a sense. And deliverance is really crucial and important. And I have talked about it quite a bit on my social media, but I'm going to be talking a lot more about it. Especially on the podcast channel, because I'm able to go more in depth with it. But deliverance is so very, very crucial to getting healed. Deliverance is biblical. No, it's not people screaming, rolling around on the floor, or saying, like, I just can't control it. Like, God is making me. No, that's not any of that. And a lot of people think it's that way because that's just kind of how it's been abused and shown as being holy and biblical, and it's just not. We're going to go more into that the next podcast episode. This is the end of the podcast episode. If you guys have any questions, you guys want me to make an episode touching on a specific topic that I talked about during this episode, or just something that you guys are like confused about, if there's something that you guys are wondering about and you want me to do an episode on, please feel free to go to the Honeycoated Words Instagram account, shoot me a DM, Let me know what you're thinking. If you guys have any prayer requests, again, you can go to the Instagram and you can shoot me a DM. In the description of the podcast episode here, I will have some resources for you guys. If you want to learn more in depth about deliverance, if you want to learn about healing, if you want to learn about God's heart, all these things I have been talking about, I will have some resources for you guys down below. So yeah, thank you so very much for tuning into this episode. I just want to close this out in prayer. Lord, thank you so very much for the opportunity to be able to come and make podcast episodes. Lord, I pray that every person listening to this will have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive, God, that they would be bold and come to you and admit, Lord, that maybe they're just tired of trying to do it by themselves. Maybe they're just tired of living in the sin, or maybe they're just tired of feeling unloved and being in this bitterness, maybe with their father or with themselves or with you, God. They're tired. They want to feel loved. They want to love other people. They're having trouble feeling loved and loving other people and loving you. They know that they should be and they need help, God. I pray that you would encourage everyone listening to this to just come into your presence boldly, because they are children of God. They can cry out, Abba, Father. They have a right to do so. Lord, I pray that there would just be healing and deliverance over every person listening to this, God. And I thank you for each heart again listening to this. And I pray blessings over their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.